Welcome, everybody, and good evening. This is Lindsay Kenny, and I'm here tonight with one of my colleagues and friends, Tanya Prince. She is from the UK, from Manchester, England. And Tanya is an EFT master, an EFT expert, but she's also the founder and developer of a technique called inner repatterning. It's not an EFT technique, but it is an energy self-improvement technique, and she's going to teach us how to do that tonight. And I hope you find it exciting and very useful. So Tanya has a varied background. She's even been in the theater. Is that right? In entertaining, Tanya, is that what you said?
Well, I've been in show business show for 10 years. I've been on TV and done a lot of different things, Lindsay.
Uh-huh. And in school, you have a degree in chemistry?
Yes, I have one of them tucked away as well.
Well, that's necessary to do the kind of work we do.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting the different fields that people come into, EFT and self-development, with all the different backgrounds. They assist in different ways to make us better at what we do. Tanya's no exception to that. She's a great speaker and facilitator and holds workshops in Manchester and all over England. And I'm going to give you her website. This is also posted on my website on the media page and on the Pro EFT radio page, so you'll have it up front. It's www.eft-courses.co.uk, eft-courses.co.uk. So, Tanya, let's get started on this inner repatterning and hear about it, listen, and teach us. So tell me, what is it? What is inner repatterning?
Well, inner repatterning is an energy technique, as EFT is an energy technique. We work on the body's energy system. And I actually developed it from EFT because, you know, obviously I've done an awful lot of work using EFT through many years. I would also say inner repatterning was inspired by the work of Eckhart Tolle, because when I really came up with the idea, I was reading a book that he wrote, and it literally just things just clicked in my head, and I thought, what if we did this? What if we did that? So it's very much this approach is inspired by his work, and it's a very simple technique, a very simple approach that's been used on some pretty complex issues.
Well, it sounds very interesting. How you say it's energy work, but it's not EFT. So how does it differ, or how is it the same from EFT?
Well, it differs in that we only use one tapping point. We tap on the thymus, which is on the chest. We kind of very, very gently tap on our area using the finger pads.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing would be that we don't use setup statements. We don't particularly have to find any specific words to represent problems. Mm-hmm. We do it in a very different way. And also, inner repatterning is kind of a very global approach. We don't need to go down to specific events, etc., to all work on that kind of thing. We can work very globally and kind of make big shifts and changes, really.
So people bring to you their problem. They don't come necessarily and say, gee, I have low self-esteem because my mom yelled at me. They might bring the symptom to you, which says I'm stuck at work. I can't seem to get anything done, you don't have to go back and find the cause. Is that what I'm hearing?
Absolutely, we don't have to find the cause at all, because we'll just work in a way in the now, in the present moment. However, when we are working, if the cause pops up, because sometimes they do, you know, then we work with that. But we work with it in the present moment. We really don't try to go back to past events and kind of modify them or anything like that. We don't work in that way.
Well, it sounds then like this would be one of the gentle techniques, or it sounds like if you're not going to specific traumatic incidences, then you're not cathartic and they're not resisting to getting in touch with those feelings. Is that correct?
Yeah, what we look at to do with inner repatterning is to make it as gentle as possible, because some issues that people have out there are tremendously big and, you know, can be very uncomfortable for people to then address those kind of issues. So When we developed inner repatterning, because I have a colleague who came on board and co-developed this with me, a lady called June Spencer, the whole idea was to make this very, very gentle. So it is a gentle process, and it's important that the technique be gentle, because what we do, we put the person into a very relaxed state so that we can work at a very, very deep level with the person.
Mm-hmm. So give me some examples of the kind of problems or issues that this will work with.
I'll give you an example from a training course that I run last weekend. I think this would be a very interesting one for you, because this lady has given her permission for me to share this story. One of the attendees on the training course actually had a problem during the course in that she would be falling asleep. Yeah? And
she's falling asleep. That's not good, Tanya.
No, I know. Luckily, I'm confident. But she's falling asleep and also being very anxious. And she actually volunteered to be worked upon, and my colleague June did the work with her. And it turned out she had this sleeping problem was not just there. It was right. I think she'd had it for 10 years, where periodically she'd just really get really tired and have to rest. And even if she was driving, she'd have to stop, pull over, and rest, yeah? So it was a big impact on her life. And as I said, she also had the anxiety going on. And within 35 minutes, a massive shift within what was going on for her. And the next day, when she came back to the training, she told the full story of what had been going on for her. She was on anti-anxiety tablets, and she'd actually forgotten to bring them to the training course. And therefore, when she got to London, she was flinching at every single sound, every single noise, as if she felt as if she wanted to run away and cower down. And she had these kind of big emotional reactions going on. So, you know, and she didn't have a medication with her, and there was no chance she could get that medication for several days. Well, when she came back the next day, she told this story, and she'd actually gone out after the work that was done and found out she had no reaction to the buses going past, the noises or anything. She was just able to calmly walk past them, not flinch at all. And she's actually stayed off her medication since then.
Well, that is amazing, and it's an interesting symptom or issue. So it sounds like it's at the polar opposites. On one hand, she's falling asleep, kind of like narcolepsy, and on the other hand, she's highly anxious, two different things. And so at both ends, so she wasn't falling asleep anymore?
No, she just looked like a totally transformed person. She was just so, in fact, I spoke with her several days later, and I said, well, you know, without I think it was a 35-minute session, I said, what would you now say, we're several days after this, what is the percentage improvement and in the total issue? And she actually said, I would say it's 85% or above with the whole issue, these big, big issues she'd had right through her life. Well, right through her life for 10 years of her life.
Wow, so that's pretty huge. And how long did it take you in the class to work on that?
It was about 35 minutes. My colleague worked on her, June Spencer. She did a live demonstration, and it was about 35 minutes long, in which they didn't go back to any past events or anything like that, just very gently done. There wasn't a tear or anything inside.
Well, let's use her as an example, and tell me how, is it Betty that you're... Your partner's name?
June,
I'm sorry. I'm thinking of somebody else I know with a hyphenated name like that, with Spencer in it. So tell me what June did briefly, and then we'll maybe take the audience and listeners through and teach them how to do this process. But let's use June as an example. The client is sleepy, the narcoleptic, the anxiety person, and what June did with her.
Well, first off, what June did is she established the problem, because you kind of do need to know what you're working on. So, you know, ask for a little bit of information about the problems or what you want to work on, and which, of course, she said the sleeping issue, etc. And then she said to her, how are you going to know when that's gone? Yeah, what will be different when that's gone? Because she's talking about how the particular lady is going to evaluate the result. And so you got that information because you want to be able to test what you're doing as well. So that was kind of pre-doing anything there with it. Once she'd done that, what she then did with her was she put her into peripheral vision. Now, peripheral vision is a very, it's what you do with your eyes. You know, you can be in what you call foveal vision. Say if you're looking at a computer screen, you're generally in more foveal vision. You're very focused. When you're, you know, reading things, often it's quite a foveal vision for many people. But when you go into peripheral vision, which is vision at the sides of your vision, so you have an awareness at the sides of your vision, you actually go into a very relaxed state of mind and become very calm. So what June did with her was she got her to go naturally into peripheral vision. Peripheral vision is a very natural state as well, something we can do. So when she accessed peripheral vision, it quietened her mind down and allowed her to become very relaxed. Once she did that, she got her to tap on the thymus point using the pads of her fingertips and then got her to be aware of her breathing. So them three steps together are how we put a person into a very safe place in order to begin to work with them.
While they're doing that, they're not thinking about the problem particularly.
Not at that point, because we're prepping them, really. it's very important to and it only takes like a minute or so to do that. I probably took longer to talk it through, but it doesn't take very long to do that. It's very, very simple to do. So we just get them into a very type of peaceful place whereby they're just calm and relaxed. And once they're in that place, what we tend to do is we read an intention to them, like a direction, what we want to achieve by doing what we're going to do. And setting very powerful intentions can make an amazing difference to the results you achieve. So she set a very, very powerful intention with this particular lady that the intention was that whatever blocked her from being in a place of inner peace, her mind and body would heal. And it's a bit longer than that, the full statement of it. So once that intention was set, then she drew awareness back to the problem and how she knew she had that problem. Because when we have issues, we do know we've got them, whether it's we remember things that have happened to us, whether we've got some internal dialogue going on, whether we've got physical feelings or sensations going on. So somehow we have an awareness of that. So she drew her attention back to how she knew she had the problem. And then when she got her to put her awareness on that, she asked her to breathe in, and as she was breathing out, to have a sense of putting out how she knows she's got the problem outside of herself, in a way so she can step away from it and witness whatever that was that let her know she had the problem. So if it was a memory, of course, she'd be, in a way, looking at the memory external to herself while she's tapping, while she's in a very relaxed peripheral vision. And once they do that, once they kind of step out and become a witness of how they know they've got the problem, literally we just tap and accept that's there, and also tap and release our judgment of it and our criticism of it. So that would be the first step of what she basically did with this lady.
Did at that point, had she mm-hmm. articulated that she was anxious and would jump at buses and cars and noises? Had she already mentioned that, or was it just the sleeping issue?
She certainly emphasized the sleeping aspect of it. I'm not sure if she emphasized the anxiety aspect. I knew the anxiety aspect was there, but I'm not so sure she totally emphasized that particular piece of the problem.
Okay.
But it was certainly something very obvious as well. So I don't know if she actually mentioned that element of it at this point, but the two things were very much interlinked somehow.
Well, yes, I'm not sure I I see the link yet, but they must be since this worked on both of them. Well, it's fascinating. So, Tanya, let's take another. So there's a case that it worked on that your partner worked on, got the result, got the feedback from the client the next day that it was 85% resolved or more. Let's take another issue or have the listeners find an issue. And why don't you walk us through that, and I'll do it along with you. I can't think of any issue I want to work on right now because I always tap them away if they come up. But that's okay. I want to stay with you anyway. But have our listeners go through and teach us how to do this process, because it sounds like it's something we can do for ourselves, right?
Well, I could take you through certain steps of the peripheral vision if you're okay with that.
Sure.
That might be an interesting experience for you to describe to people.
Okay.
It's very simple to do. Of course, people listening can do it very simply. We use peripheral vision, and of course, it's a really natural, healthy state to put yourself into. In fact, when you're in peripheral vision, the parasympathetic nervous system is kind of influencing your how you are. So your body's repairing itself and regenerating itself. So it's such a healthy place to be. So I'll talk people through that to start off with, because it's part of how we quieten the mind down and put a person in a place in which they can begin to communicate with the deeper part of their mind, whereby the memories and programs that run our lives are held.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Tanya, tell me why it's different than closing your eyes. Why would peripheral vision be different than just closing your eyes?
If you just close your eyes, you can go into your problem.
Oh, okay.
And therefore, you can feel so uncomfortable.
Okay.
You see, if when I'm working with someone and I see them going into the problem, now what I will do is I'll get them, they're tapping anyway on the thymus. For some of them, I just get them to accept that emotion's coming up. But once they've accepted that, I make sure they go back into peripheral vision.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So explain to our listeners how they get into that peripheral vision. I'll do that part along with you. Now let's see.
Yeah. What I would ask then is that you kind of, anyone who wants to do the exercise and yourself, Lindsay, if you kind of look into the distance and maybe even elevate your eyes slightly, and as you do that, just bring your awareness around to the sides of your eyes gently. So you're looking forward, however, you have your awareness around the sides of your eyes and have a sense of being able to see things that are at the sides of your vision.
It's kind of a comfortable feeling.
Say that again?
It's kind of a comfortable feeling.
Yeah.
Instead of focusing on something like it, I think I've used the term of soft eyes.
Yeah, soft eyes would be a lovely term for it. It would be soft eyes.
It kind of goes off focus. It's not clear. If you're seeing the peripheral correctly, then whatever's in the distance that you're looking at, it should be kind of out of focus. Is that right?
It should be in soft focus. So, you know, rather than the tunnel vision that we have sometimes if we go into an anxious state.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So I think, as you said, it's just kind of a soft focus and kind of calming. What it tends to do when you go into that place, it tends to close down the internal chatter in the mind and quieten the mind and just bring on this kind of sense of relaxation for people. And as I said, it's incredibly healthy to put yourself into that state regardless of what else you do.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. And you can do that, actually, walking down the street because it's so natural. It's, you know, like if you watch a footballer playing, they're in peripheral vision because they notice things to the side, in front of them, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Especially a faster sport like baseball, basketball, where things are moving so quickly, they have to be very well. Animals are terrific at that, too.
Yeah, I know, and they don't suffer from too much stress, do the animals?
Yeah.
You know, I think we need to learn from them, really.
Yes.
How they handle things, yeah. But, yeah, it's a really healthy kind of thing to do. And what I would also say is there should be no stress in it, because some people, they try so hard to do it, and that's not the point. It should be so gently done that there should be a comfort that comes with it.
Okay.
You can also do it with your eyes closed, Lindsay, as well. But if you do it with your eyes closed, you have to have a sense of looking forward and bringing your eyes out to the sides, your vision out to the sides, even though your eyelids are closed.
That seems harder to me to do than keeping the eyes open.
Yeah, I think different people have different preferences, though. I personally find it's quite easy for me because it's a muscle sense. I have a sense of the muscles in my eyes, and I can feel it and sense it. I think some people just like to have their eyes closed when they do these things. But like I said, you mentioned if people close their eyes before, and I said about some people can sink into their emotions, and we want to avoid that.
Well, you just said a key thing, though, that I just tried, mm-hmm. though. When you mentioned the muscle, then I can feel that pulling the vision to the side with my eyes closed, mm-hmm. where mm-hmm. normally when my eyes are closed, I'm looking straight ahead. I hadn't realized that. But I can actually feel the muscles pulling a little to the side, which, again, it feels kind of relieving or relaxing to do that.
Yeah, yeah. So, because we teach people to do it both ways, because it's really, we adapt this process to fit the person. Because if they would rather have their eyes closed, we'll do it that way. If they'd rather have their eyes open, we'll do it that way.
I know it's a natural state for people to go into when mm-hmm. they're sort of daydreaming. And you see people doing it all the time. They just kind of look in and their eyes are just sort of staring ahead. And they're not really looking at anything. They're thinking about something that's going to happen or a memory from the past. I think that's the same sort of feeling. Is that true? The same sort of...
Well, what I would say is what we're putting a person into is a very aware place where they're very aware of what's happening.
Oh, yeah, there's
in a very relaxed way, though.
Mm-hmm.
They have they're present, yeah? Very present in that moment and very aware.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and then what's next?
Once we've, I've taught you how to do that. You might as well just do these elements of it. Obviously, as you said before, you haven't really got an issue here because you've already worked on your stuff anyway. But if I take you through the elements of this, I think it will give you a clearer understanding, yeah? Now you know how to do peripheral vision. If you tap using all the fingers on your hand, the finger pads on the center of the chest, so you've got your whole hand and you're just tapping incredibly gently with the finger pads on the thymus,
right,
which is about the center of the chest.
So is it below the chest plate, right on it, or between the breasts?
No, not between that. It's higher up. It's if you go to where the collarbones meet,
mm-hmm.
it's not. It's below there.
Okay.
Below there, but... the center of the chest below there.
Okay. So, okay.
On the bone, I would say. It's the sternum, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But it's on the higher heart chakra for people who know that kind of terminology.
Okay, good.
And it's incredibly gentle because it is a very sensitive area.
All right.
And we tend to do a reasonably soft rhythm. Because it doesn't need, issues do not need to be pounded out of you. You can do it very gently. So if you just tap with your finger pads, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And if you, whilst you're doing that, if you now put yourself into peripheral vision and just allow your awareness to be on your breathing, you should feel very relaxed.
Mm-hmm. It's working on me.
Mm. Yeah, so we get people to be in that place before we begin to work with them, because the advantage of doing that is what that does is it kind of takes the analytical mind out of the way,
mm-hmm.
because the point being that a lot of the programs that we run, the things that run our lives, such as maybe we have a belief such as I'm not good enough, or I always fail, this kind of stuff going on. That's in the deeper unconscious mind, and that's like a program that runs within us. And when you go into this particular state of mind, you can get access to the program level of your mind. You can gain access to the deeper levels of your mind and create shifts at that level.
All right, now, so let's suppose someone comes to you with a weight problem. And they say, mm-hmm. I've been struggling with weight all this time. And you get them to this point. They're now focused on the peripheral vision. They're tapping on the thymus. What would you do with them? They've defined that's their problem, and the way they'll know it's over. Or maybe you haven't gotten to that part, right?
I was working on someone who came with a weight issue not that long back, and I don't know, weight issues. They actually sent me after a week 9 pounds and going. Very interesting for that person who sent me that, actually. They said whenever they tried to diet, they put weight on.
Oh, yeah, a lot of people do, yeah. They're resisting it, yeah.
Yeah, so when we were doing the pre-discussion, they said, whenever I diet, I put it on. I've tried many diets. None of them have worked for me. Mm-hmm. And I put all this weight issue down to all the emotional stuff that's happening in my life. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So what I did is I put them into that state there, asked them how they would know. Now, obviously, with a weight issue, you're not... You know, there's two ways to evaluate that, isn't there? There's one which is more long-term,
mm-hmm.
because you can't not, right in the session, you're not going to be able to see a reduction in weight.
Sure.
Well, maybe. I don't know.
That would be weird.
Yes. What's that?
I said that would be weird. But
I know.
Most likely they would feel differently, though, about it. They would, instead of being mad at themselves or frustrated, there would be a difference, hopefully, in how they would feel. How will they, you know, it's different. They would feel differently about their weight problem or about themselves. Is that where you're going with it?
Yeah, so there's two ways to evaluate. There's the longer term, which would be the weight itself, but it's also within that session. I'd also ask them, what would you notice right now within this session that would be different?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because I'd also want to get some kind of feedback from that moment to see whether there was a way they would be evaluating within the session. I did that, but then at the very beginning I got them to tap and go into that very safe, calm place there, and I asked them to put their awareness on how they knew they had that problem. Now, I don't always ask them what that is that they're actually working upon at that point, because I don't really need to know.
Oh.
And, you know, I don't always ask them on that, because, you know, there might be multiple ways they have that, they know they have that problem. If they choose to share, I'm okay with that, but I don't always ask in detail of that. So I just ask them to find out how, put their awareness on how they know they have the problem whilst they're tapping, and when they're ready to breathe in and using their breath, have a sense of putting that outside of them and having a sense of witnessing it, accepting that it's there and releasing their judgment and criticism of it.
Okay, I think that part's important. For instance, if regardless of the problem, how do you know you have this problem? It could be, well, I'm feeling because I feel stressed and angry and upset for having it, or it could be, well, because I can see the manifestations of it. I can see the weight, I can see the clutter, I can see that I'm stuck and can't get my resume done. So it could either be how they're feeling about themselves or the physical manifestations of the problem. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's whatever they're noticing. Yeah, exactly. So we work with whatever that is, mm-hmm. however they know.
But you don't need to know as the practitioner.
I don't particularly need to know, because I can. The language that I use doesn't require that I know. In that, when I say, how do you know that you've got it, put your awareness on that and just become aware of that. And as you become aware of it, have a sense of breathing that out and putting that outside of you.
Okay, good. So I want to make sure that everybody's doing this with us. Be responsible for your own results.
Yeah.
Be gentle, but I want you guys that are listening to do this with us, unless you're driving.
like you say, they have to be responsible for their own results. But, yeah, I would suggest that if anyone does choose to do this, that they find a safe place to do it, because, you know, you want to be focusing on what you're doing.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So we're at that step where we've done the peripheral vision. You've acknowledged how you know you have the problem, and how you'll know within this time period that something has changed. What result would you be looking for? That they might be more relaxed or calm or peaceful, or they might experience freedom or a sense of relief or something along those lines.
Yeah, because people generally have a way, something that they have in their mind that they'll know,
mm-hmm.
such as, when I think of this, I won't feel that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And in case of June might have asked, this lady in your class, well, she would say, well, I'll be awake when you get done. Mm. Something as simple as that, or I won't be hyperventilating or whatever, okay?
Yeah, so they just give you such powerful information when you get that, actually.
Okay.
You know, so when I get a person to put the whatever that is outside of them, the reason why we are getting them to accept what it is, yeah, however the problem's represented to them, is simply often when we have issues, we resist them because we can't accept it. And by the very fact that we resist, we fuel those problems and make them more powerful.
That's right. And it takes a lot of energy to resist.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, very draining. So literally, by just tapping and clearing that resistance and making it, well, it's there, which is just the reality. It is there, yeah? And just accepting what is, basically, you take the power away from it. And it's very, very powerful to do that.
All right, let me make sure I'm understanding. So now they're doing the peripheral, they're tapping on the thymus, they've acknowledged their problem, and now they'll know it's different. And now at this point, they're focusing on it and letting go of the resistance. Lead me through this last step. I'm not clear on.
So if you were tapping on your thymus now, Lindsay, and we'd put your problem out in front of you, I would ask you now, I'd say, now, as you witness that, accept it's there.
Mm-hmm.
And just release any judgment you have of it, releasing any criticism, yeah?
That's good. It's outside of you now, right? The problem is outside of you.
Yeah.
And you're accepting it and letting go of the judgment, you idiot, or you should have known better, or whatever, that kind of stuff, okay?
Yeah. And when we tap on that, then what we ask the person to do is to put their awareness on what now is happening within themselves. So we say, now what are you experiencing within you? And what you tend to find is more of the problem bubbles up.
Mm-hmm.
Generally, that's how it goes. Maybe it's the fact I can't accept it, or there's no way I'm releasing my judgment of this. Or maybe it's something else. Maybe it's some memory or some different experience or many, many things. But somehow more of the problem just bubbles up and comes up. And what we then do is that still tapping on the thymus, but we make sure they're in peripheral vision. We get them now to put their awareness on what's now bubbled up, what's come up to the surface, and become aware of how they know they've got that, and do the same with that. They breathe in, and as they breathe out, put that outside of them and witness that.
Okay.
And we do exactly the same thing again. We accept that's there, and we release our judgment of that, and we release the criticism of it.
Okay, so it's accept and be aware of, accept it and release it, judgment, criticism, okay?
Yeah, because it's, you know, that judgment of criticism really, really is another, it's like holding on, it makes us hold on to these things, and when you're releasing that, it makes a big difference as well.
And did they ever say, well, I can't, it was either about themselves, they should not have done that to me, or it really hurt that they did, or I shouldn't have done that, did they ever hang on to it like we do with traditional tapping? People are saying, well, I just can't seem to let it go.
Yeah, they do. I think it just seems to be human nature sometimes, isn't it? But what we do is, because that's another piece of the problem coming up, and what we do is, if they say, I can't let go of it, and that's fine, we said, be aware of that thought, I can't let go of it, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And when you're ready, breathe in, breathe out, and just put that thought out there and have a look at that thought. And witness it, accept that thought is there. Release any judgment of it or any criticism of it. Just accept it.
Okay. Jesus.
So again, whatever pops up, again, we're just accepting it's there and taking the power out of it.
Okay, good. All right, then what's the next step?
Well, as you begin to do that and as more of the problem pops up, and this approach can go very, very deep very quickly. I've seen it really go shockingly deep very rapidly with some people, and which is fine because, you know, it was kind of engineered to do that, to get at the very deep stuff and to clear stuff like that. So, you know, we just keep going. If uncomfortable feelings or pieces of the problem keep popping up, we keep putting them out, yeah? However, what begins to happen for many people very soon is that instead of negative feelings, uncomfortable feelings popping up, positive feelings start to come up. Good stuff starts to pop up.
Very similar in tapping. Mm-hmm. As the intensity is going down, they're starting, they go from the negative, the anger, the frustration, resentment, they start mm-hmm. saying, well, I can see how this would be great if I could let this go, or I could see that this is not so impossible as I thought. So they just start shifting their perception on it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah, so these positive feelings come up, and when a positive feeling comes up, we kind of acknowledge that, but we do it slightly differently. We stop tapping at that point. We get them to put their hand over their heart and to sit with the positive feeling and accept that feeling, releasing any judgment or criticism of it. Just accept that's there as well.
All right, so now they take, instead of tapping on their thymus, they now just put their hand flat on their heart.
Yeah, over the heart chakra, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
They put their hand flat there and then they just accept this feeling or whatever this is that's come up that feels better to them. Now, if some people have got very, very big issues and maybe what comes up is only a little bit of a positive feeling, mm-hmm. you know, tinged with some negative feelings, yeah? And what we can do with this is, even if it's only a little bit of a positive, we can still get them to put their hand over their heart and put their awareness on the positive elements of it and have a sense of expanding out the positive piece of that feeling and making it bigger.
Okay. I want to point out to people that you're going to offer, or you have an e-book on your site where they can go through these steps so that if people are trying to do this and write it down at the same time, I encourage you that you just experience it now, and then you can go to Tanya's site later and,
yeah.
and get the mm-hmm. directions and practice it.
Yeah. It's actually very, very easy to do, but, you know, being that it's fairly new for many people, it might be something they're just not familiar with at this point. So, you know, it's easier to read it in some ways or see it.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, they put their hand over their heart and acknowledge the positive feeling. However, what we then do is we want to go deeper to make sure we've truly cleared out the uncomfortable or whatever issue we're working with at the very beginning. We get them to go back to tapping after a moment of acknowledging the positive feeling,
mm-hmm.
get them to tap again on the thymus, put their awareness on the positive feeling, and when they're ready, breathe in, breathe out, and have a sense of putting that outside of themselves as well.
The positive feeling.
Put it to the side, yeah?
Okay.
To have a sense of putting it to the side so they're differentiating it from where they're putting their problem. They're putting this to the side.
Okay.
Because they can bring it back later on during the process.
But Tanya, are they still doing the peripheral vision?
Yeah, absolutely,
okay.
Yeah. We keep, if they go out of peripheral vision at any point during this, we just gently just say, and just put yourself back into peripheral vision.
Okay. Now they breathe in and the positive, they breathe out the positive and put it over to the side so it's not in the same place as the negative energy was.
Yeah, just to help them really. It's just an assist really.
Okay.
But then once they've done that, we will ask them, so now what are you experiencing within you now? Because
okay.
sometimes we'll start to get positive feelings come up, but there's still pretty big negative stuff still there, just deeper down.
So give me a typical
mm-hmm.
example of what people might say at this point. They now have both negative and positive outside of themselves. They're tapping. What might somebody say?
They can go either way on this. Some people will say, well, now I feel this really, really great feeling.
Mm-hmm.
So they might say, well, now I've got a feeling of love coming up. Yeah?
Okay.
And so, again, we just get them to put their hand over their heart and sit with that feeling expanded out. But equally, a person could say, you know, now I've got this really uncomfortable feeling coming up. It's like a boulder. You know, because people use many, many different terms to represent their problems. And whatever term they use, we'll just accept it and work with it.
So they feel a boulder, a tightness in their chest or knot in their stomach.
Yeah.
You have them breathe that out and put that
yeah,
outside
we,
of them.
Yeah, yeah, we We get them to tap on the thymus and have a sense of breathing that out and put that outside of them.
Okay. Now, do you have people that say, well, I can't do that. It's not working for me. How do I put it outside of me? I feel it in my stomach.
Yeah. We get them to put that thought out there.
Oh, okay. You're just dumping out stuff.
The block. Yeah,
yeah, okay.
The lovely block that's popping up. We get them to put that out there.
Good. Okay. Pretty soon they're going to be empty.
I know. We just take it. Well, that's a program that's running, so we just put that out there as well.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's good. No, that's good. Go ahead. I'm with you. So now we have all this different stuff out, the blocks, the knot in the stomach, feel good feeling. The only time they put their hand on the heart is when they're focusing on having a good feeling. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
But we also, at the very end, when we do, what you tend to find is that you just keep going and going and going with this process until you get to a point where there's only really good positive feelings coming up. And some people have had amazing positive feelings come up, total love and bliss and everything. And when they get to that point, you feel maybe this is maybe the completion point of this, what we would do is we'd get them to put both of their hands over their heart and have a sense of bringing back into themselves any of their positive feelings that they wish to bring back into themselves and have a sense of bringing that in through their heart and have a sense of bringing that through every single cell, every fiber within their body, and in a way wrapping that feeling around them.
Well, I like that. Before we get back, I'm going to go back to that in a second, but I want to ask a question. You keep going at this and getting their awareness of what they're experiencing until there aren't any more negative ones, until it's just positive things that they're feeling peace or calm or optimism. Mm. And do you ask them, do you test them, say, do you feel any negativity at all, or do you bother?
What I would do is, what I sometimes do is, near the end, what I would just say is, and you can do this two ways. When I'm getting near the end, I will ask them the key questions. Now when you think of your problem, what happens? Yeah?
Okay. Uh-huh.
So I might do that just to see if there's anything more to do whilst I'm still got them tapping, or I might actually complete the process by getting them to put both hands over their heart and then test them. And, we've had some pretty stunning results with that.
Give me an example. What kind of things happen when people put their hands over their heart and you ask them to test it or get in touch with that? What are some of the things that people might come up with?
It seems like the distant past now.
Oh.
Or it seems irrelevant. Or rather, it's just not important for me. That's neither here nor there, really, not important at all.
Well, this is really an interesting and different perspective from tapping. It's, you go through a different process to get to the same result, because people will do that with tapping. They get down to a zero, and you say, now test it, see if you can get upset again, and they say, well, it seems ridiculous now that I was ever upset. Why do I care about that person?
Yeah.
Or I feel really good about it. I feel, I can't even get in touch with that bad feeling. It seems like they're getting to a similar place. What's the purpose?
Actually, quite often at the end, they're in a really glorious place, in fact. Many people, we had someone who just said they were in a total place of love. We have many, many people who said they're just in such a deep place of inner peace, etc. So, actually, and there's another lady I worked with when I was developing the approach, and she had a fear of public speaking, and she was like getting panicky, and her heart was pumping really hard, and it was really wrecking her career. So I actually did this, and I recorded it with her, and it took about 15 minutes, but she had a sense of regressing back to be a child whenever she got to public speaking. And what I did is I just asked her, become aware of how you know you've got this problem, put it outside of yourself. She's tapping away. And I says, now, witness that, accept it without any judgment or criticism. I said, now what's happening within you? She said, I feel so sorry for her. I said, all right. I said, now become aware of how you know that. Put that outside of you. Yeah?
Yeah.
And accept that. It collapsed instantly.
Oh.
But the interesting point was, the whole room that she was in became so much brighter. And it's literally, she said, like, it was like, you know, she could really sense the vibrant energy of the furniture around her. She said it was like this amazing visual shift within things, and she felt so really, really present. And even to this day, which I did that sometime ages last year sometime, she actually said she can still reaccess that place that we achieved at the end of the session.
Well, that's interesting. Can she speak now? Is her fear of public speaking gone?
Oh, yeah, yeah, because you do have to relate it, but she's actually running training courses.
Oh.
And she's given presentations, and they've told her she's quite gifted.
Oh, that's great.
Mm-hmm. She's a very interesting speaker, and she's got a sense of humor. She couldn't show that all the time before because of the issue. She can now.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good. Tanya, speak a little bit more about why you put your hand over your heart, why you put both hands over the heart. Is that the re-imprinting part?
Well, what it is we're very much into, you know, the heart being in a coherent place, mm-hmm. you know, the emotional center of ourselves. Because when that goes into when the heart is in a coherent place, it pulls the mind and the body systems into coherence. So, you know, the heart is just such an important part within us, and that's why we do it that way. That's why we put our hands over the heart, and that's why we work on that particular area. The other reason why we're also tapping around the thymus area as well is because it has the vagus nerve running through there as well, and if you do mild stimulation of that, it's very, very powerful and healthy for you.
Did you say the vagus nerve?
Mm.
And explain to our listeners how that's relevant.
Well, it's one of the major nerves in the body that kind of goes everywhere. And what you're looking at is, I think we were talking to David Hamilton, who's an author at the EFT Masterclass last year when we showcased this at the EFT Masterclass. And he was saying about research that had come out on stimulating the vagus nerve, and it was found to have a profound effect on health, improvement on health. Now, they stimulated, I think, in a different point. I think they were stimulating it around the back of the head area or something like that. I'm not sure of the details of that because it was quite a while ago. We went up and asked David Hamilton whether he thought you would get the same response if you tapped on the thymus area, and he said he thought you would.
Tell me who David Hamilton is.
David Hamilton's a very well-known author with Hay House Publishing. He's written some fabulous books on your thoughts and the power of them, and a lot of really, really good kind of interesting books on health and, you know, in a way, how our thoughts influence so many things.
Well,
not just thoughts. He's written other books about so many different things. So, but he's very interesting writer. He's certainly worth a read.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll have to look him up. There are also some powerful studies from the scientific point of view about how powerful our heart is, that in fact it is like a brain center, that in many ways it governs our emotions and our thoughts and memories as much, if not more so, than the brain. Have you heard of that, Tanya?
Yes, in fact, I'm sure you've come across this as well. You know, so many people come up to us in therapy sessions and say, well, I've got this problem, it's not logical. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
That's
yeah.
because it's emotional, isn't it?
Yeah.
And the emotion overrides the logic.
Oh,
you know,
sure.
If you've got, yeah. And what we're looking at, therefore, you know, being the heart, being the emotional center, you pull that into coherence and balance, then it will pull the rest of the mind-body system into coherence and balance. So it's a very, very powerful place to work on.
Mm-hmm. There are a lot of those illogical things to people. Some may consciously realize it's not illogical, or that it's not logical, and some can't realize that. For instance, fear of falling off of bridges that are very safe, and you know that mm-hmm. they could be strapped onto it, and they'd still experience the fear, or people that have anorexia or other eating disorders, in their mind, if they eat one morsel, they're going to balloon up like a balloon, you know, and the people won't like them, even though they weigh 90 pounds. And they don't seem to have the capacity to see that that's illogical, as opposed to the person that says, yeah, I know I'm not going to fall off of the bridge. I'm safe up here, but I still feel unsafe. So those two things can be, you could work with inner repatterning on those two things that are illogical.
Well, we treat every issue the same. We work with it the same. But, I went through the simple approach of how we work with things. Because I don't know how much longer the talk will be here. I don't know how long your show is.
We've got about 8 minutes left.
All right. Because I just think I do need to bring this up. We went through the simple approach, but sometimes we have to introduce another element to that.
Oh, good.
Because if you find you're having to put stuff out there and out there and out there and out there, you know, that's not how this works. You know, if you put a few things out there and you got your result, that's great. But if you're having to keep going with that, then what we look at is there's something else going on. There's a program that's running that's causing that to happen. What we do with this approach, we can work with that program and shift the program that runs. Mm-hmm.
Like, give me an example of that. So you find that they go back to, you know, it uncovers some really strong belief from childhood that I'm not good enough, I'm not okay, I'm not safe.
Mm-hmm.
One of those core issue things.
Or like the lady who was falling asleep, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
She actually got up for a demonstration on working with the parts.
With
programs
what?
That we'd run, yeah? She got up so we could use the inner repatterning and working with the program, the part of her that ran that program of falling asleep. So what we did what was done at one point is, very early on in the session, is that part was asked to step outside of her whilst tapping.
The part of her that was running these old programs?
Yeah, the whole program.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Yeah, and asked to say whatever it needed to say and allow whatever it needed to say in order to allow that to heal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it's very important to allow the part to communicate. So we allowed the part to communicate, but then what we do is we do inner repatterning on that part. And it's very, very interesting because you can shift some pretty major stuff that way.
That is interesting. I'm curious about how in that case, the lady that June was working on, how the anxiety part of it got fixed. You know, she was used to taking anxiety pills and wasn't taking them, left them at home, which you would think would cause anxiety in itself, but instead she fell asleep. Was she having the sleep problem before as well?
She'd had the sleep problem for 10 years.
And the anxiety problem?
Yeah, roughly about the same.
But you only worked on the sleep problem and the anxiety problem went away as well?
Well, we worked on the program that ran the sleep problem, and I don't know what that was, and you don't in some ways have to know why it was, but it had the impact on the whole thing.
Well, that's amazing. Tanya, how long have you been doing this part, the inner repatterning?
Well, I developed the idea. I had the idea last year, amazingly, but we've actually taken it such a long, long way since then. So I would say, actually, it's probably longer than that, actually. Last year, I think. So
it's relatively new.
Very new, very new. But we've worked with, you know, some very big issues with it out there, because my colleague who came on board very early on, because when I developed the idea, I actually phoned up my students and I said, I've got this idea, but I need to test this to see if it does what I think it does. And I, first of all, I will work with you on the phone and you can have an experience of it. And, you know, I'd appreciate if you could test it for me.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my colleagues really ran with it because she works with anger groups and she felt it would be a great technique to work with groups of people who have some very big issues.
Mm-hmm.
And she took it in there. And the people on these courses really took to the technique. And, you know, she's taken it around many, many different kinds of issues. She's worked with a lot of different things, depression, all the different kind of range of big issues, OCD, right across the board.
Addictions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be there with them kind of
any
issues.
Any pathologies? As if you had to work with somebody with bipolar or.
She does work with stuff like that. Yes.
And maybe ADHD with children.
I don't know if she's done that. I haven't questioned it on that. I know she has. She's had people who've had autism there.
Well, you know, sort of like, sounds like what we used to say with EFT, try it on everything and see if it works. And your approach was very much like when I developed my bundling baggage technique or ultimate
mm-hmm.
truth statement or golden gate. It kind of happened on the fly, and then I tried it out to see what worked, and then it can't help but evolve. So you might look back 2 years from now and say, well, look what else we have been able to do with this, how we can completely change somebody's whole life as a result of changing how they think about themselves or how they react to themselves. Because I think our judgment, this thing about putting your judgment and criticism on the outside is really important, because as wise men and women have said, it's not what happens to us, it's what we decide to do with what happens. And one of the things that most people do is judge themselves about it. You idiot, how come I did this? I wish I could stop doing that. All of the mistakes they've made or bad decisions or choices they've made. And we are just full of self-criticism and judgment, which exacerbates the actual problem. This sounds like a great way to neutralize that.
And that's what it does do. It neutralizes it, because, you know, our issues are in a way because of the meaning of, you know, the emotions we hold around them. And when you take out the criticism and judgment, it makes a huge difference when you're at peace about something and just accept, well, that's how it is. It is like that.
Right. And so I can see now all of the different ways that this differs from EFT. Instead of focusing
mm-hmm.
on the problem, you're disassociating from the problem.
Mm.
And you put it outside of you instead of inside. And it's gentle, and you don't have to remember it. You're not bringing up things. It sounds like it'd be a great integration. It's sort of like EFT and Law of Attraction, how well they go together. I can see there be maybe times, especially if somebody that's listening to this is a practitioner and they want to start learning, it's a great way to integrate it with EFT as they become comfortable. Because it sounds like you still do EFT as well, right,
Tanya? I love, you know, because I love EFT. I think it's brilliant. And I also love NLP, Neuro-Linguistic
uh-huh.
Programming. I think that's brilliant as well.
Sure.
And, you know, these techniques inspire me. And so I always want to do them all. I want to stay doing them all, because I just love having that choice, having that flexibility. And, you know, they help me become more creative because of the fact that I do use them all.
Sure. And it keeps you from being bored, too. And your clients say, well, so let's try this other thing. My clients are liking the matrix reimprinting. This is another tool that I can use and that other people can use. And not everything, people that might not respond to traditional EFT or progressive EFT like I use might respond very well to inner repatterning. And
mm-hmm.
so this, I want to encourage everybody that's listening to try it. It sounds like a very gentle technique and a safe technique. And so I want to encourage people to do that. So we're about done, Tanya. I want to thank you profusely and profoundly for doing this with us and helping people out. And I want to remind people again of your website, which is www.eft-courses.co.uk. And again, we'll have that posted on our media page and on our website, and you can download Tanya's ebook on inner repatterning there, so you can kind of go over this and practice it yourself. So thank you again, Tanya. This has been terrific. Do you have any last things you want to say?
Well, I just say thank you to you, Lindsay, for inviting me to come on your show. I really appreciate that.
Well,
it's
my pleasure. Thank you for that. It's been great. It's been an honor, and it's been very helpful. I hope everyone else has found that beneficial. So thanks again, Tanya. I want to thank everybody for participating. Be sure to visit Tanya's website and find out more about it, and we'll see you next time. Thanks again, Tanya.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.